Hi, and welcome to week three of the Reinvention Summit. And this week we're talking about the letter P in the GPS coaching system. And so it's all about purpose. What is our purpose? Early on, I mentioned that we live one life, but many chapters. Same thing for purpose. One life, many different purposes. Many times over, we may discover or rediscover something that renews or changes our focus and our purpose in our life. So I want to start by talking about a story. It's one of my favorites, and I do use it quite often. And it goes like this. It's about Picasso. So Picasso was painting this beautiful, beautiful painting on the side of the river in Paris. Gorgeous day, perfect conditions. The sun was glistening, the water was glistening on everything, and his canvas was just speaking to everyone. And a woman came walking along, and she saw his painting, and she stopped and she said, "Sir, that is the most beautiful painting I have ever seen." And she asked him if he would be willing to paint her into the landscape he was painting. And of course, Picasso said, "Hey, you know, if you can pose for my picture now, I would be more than happy to paint you into my landscape." And so she did, and he painted her in, and she took one look, and it took her breath away. She said, "This is the most beautiful painting I've ever seen. What do I owe you? I have to have this." And Picasso looked at her and he said, "Well, that will be 5,000 francs. 5,000 francs in Picasso's day for a piece of artwork was a lot of money." And the woman looked at him and she said, but I don't understand that. That's so much money. And it took you almost no time at all to paint me into your beautiful picture." And Picasso looked at the woman and he said, "That's not really true." He said, "Because it didn't take me no time at all to paint you into my picture. It took me all of my life." And so with that, all of those special tools that we all have, like Picasso had in that moment, all the things that got him to that particular day, okay, his wins, his losses, his assets, his education, his ability to create, all those tools that he brings to the table, they're the same as the tools that you bring to the table. And all of us have this unique blueprint, this unique blend of things that worked, things that didn't work, things we're good at, things we're not as good at, but they make us us. And it's like the pieces of a mosaic that come together, okay, and define what that picture is. And so it's up to you to be able to understand that we may have different stories that come and go. We may wear different hats, take on different roles. But that purpose, what we bring as that tool set, that's our asset. That's something that we have and we can really use as a power tool for ourselves to plunge into, really be able to define our minutes and our moments in our life. So I want to take this concept and take it a step further. One of the worksheets you had was a values worksheet. And I wanted to discuss that a little bit and find out, you know, what you circled, what resonated with you on there. You were supposed to circle five things and put them in order. Did something stand out? Were there values that you didn't think you'd be circling or that meant something to you a little bit differently than you thought that they might mean to you? And so if we could just hear from anybody in regard to that, that would be really great. So who wants to speak? Courage surprised you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any special reason? Was calling to you?
I think just because it takes courage to change.
Yes, that's true. Big thing. Yes, I actually say that somewhere tonight.
That's great.
Absolutely. And that's a good one. It really is a good one. And being courageous doesn't mean we're always right or we're always perfect. Being courageous means that we're ready to step into the unknown a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Anybody else? Anything come up in the values that you want to share? I'm going to remute you. Anyone want to wave at me? Gina! Okay. Yeah.
So self-love, gratitude, integrity / caring, and balance. Although I don't really care for the word balance. But
me neither. We gotta change that word. I don't like that word either.
I think harmony maybe.
Yeah.
But
rhythm, harmony, yeah.
I think self-love came to me as top on the list just because of how I've evolved in my own journey, you know, mm-hmm. always being giving to everybody else and kind mm-hmm. of leaving myself in rags. And then kind of going through those funky moments like we were talking about before.
Right.
The recording, having gratitude for what you do have, that's like an easy shift for me sometimes when I'm in funky moments. Like,
Right. Look
at all you have. What are you doing, with all this bad stuff that you're bringing in? Look at all that you have. And then just, you know, the integrity, like you and I sometimes talk about, just walking your talk. Mm-hmm. And then that whole balance thing, which kind of seems sort of impossible, but, you know, like the work life, trying to just keep it all together.
Right. And you're leading me right into what I want to say next.
It must be the wine.
There must be the wine. Cheers. I'm going to mute you. Anybody else? Ken, you have anything to say? Yes?
Unmuted. Okay. I put learning, adventure, balance, courage, caring, and satisfaction. Those are my six.
Anything stand out? Anything you weren't expecting to be circling?
The one I didn't expect the most was adventure. And I think that people from the outside might not think that I'm adventurous, but I'm very adventurous. I like discovery. I like to learn things, and I like to be in new situations. So yes, and I love balance as well. I do like the word balance. I need balance in my life to keep myself on an even keel. I need to be in control. I like to know what's what, and I need to, that's what I think. So.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Love that adventure. Very good. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute you again. Okay, so I have to make Brianna the host again. Okay, hold on 1 second. Okay, so moving forward. When we talk about values, right, there needs to be an alignment. And sometimes we kind of fall into this little bit of a black hole. You ever have those moments, I know you've had them because I have them, where you just feel like something's off. You don't really know exactly why it's off. It's either in something that you're doing or something that's going on for you. And very often it's a values rub. It's something that you are feeling very strong about in your life, but you may not be living that, or others around you may not be, you know, fitting into that for you. And our values change too. You know, just as we change and we have the courage to step into new roles, new purpose with each decade, with each thing that we do, our values can shift. They don't necessarily have to be the same for all of our lives, but they are this pillar for us. And if those are not in alignment with the things that we're doing and that what's around us, that can cause a little bit of a rift. So let's think about it this way. Let's assume you're building a house, okay? And here you are, you're painting and you're hanging pictures up on the wall and you're buying these new pillows and fluffing them up and, you know, all good, all great, right? And something just doesn't feel right. You know, it just, the house doesn't feel right. You're not feeling it. And you look around and you say, oh my gosh, I did all this stuff, but I never built the foundation. So the values are the foundation. They're those pillars, they're those support beams within your day-to-day, within your world. And so they kind of need to be there, and you need to be cognizant and mindful of what they are to have that balance that we talk about, to feel that you're in alignment with true you. And, you know, again, as that stuff starts to shift, as you shift, you need to be able to look at that again. And that's why I was asking, and all of you basically did say that there was something that showed up for you that was a little bit of a surprise, or may not have been something that would have shown up for you, you know, last month or last year or 2 years ago. So you also had another sheet called 2017, What I Know, What I Don't Know as homework. And this goes back to last week when we talked about storytelling, and we talked about, you know, learning how to tell that story with a beginning, a middle, and an end piece to it. So the what I know about this year is really that goal set, that growth, that destination that you're plugging into the GPS, okay? It's what you know you would like to have happen or achieve or step into, right? And then the what I don't know is your ability to get real with that, because we can't always control those outcomes as much as we want to and as much as we all want to be in the know. If we're writing the end of the story, then we can't live the middle, and the middle is today. Middle's the moment. It's the real stuff that's going on. So we can aspire to what that is, but how much can you put on, down there under what I don't know? Because we don't know. We know that this is our goal. We know that this is our destination that we set the GPS to. Do we know if we're definitely getting there? No. Do we know if we're taking the route that's in the GPS? Not till we take it. So what we know is what we have now, and that's those little pieces of growth and evolution that help us to reformat and refigure our purpose, right? So we need to make decisions based on what we want to happen. What we don't know keeps us playing small and uncertain. And so what we don't know rewrites a story that often never gets told, because when we see the ending before the action, then the actions we take are all disproportionate, right? So if you want to take action, it's about choice, and it begins in your awareness today. Remember those permission slips we gave ourselves last week to change and chart another course? And that's where legacy comes in. And legacy is a huge part of figuring out your purpose. And, you know, most people think about legacy as that thing we leave behind, right? It's that piece that we're not really sure, you know, what it's going to be. We're leaving it behind after we're gone. But what changes when we take that legacy and we make it ours? We make it the thing that we're going to be mindful to choose and mindful to make into what we want it to be, a commitment to ourselves. So the question to ask is, what do you want your 2017 legacy to say about you? And just like Picasso in the story I told, what's that blank canvas? Because it is a blank canvas. So you can paint, okay? You can use watercolors, you can use oil paints, you can use charcoals or pencils or crayons, whatever you want. It could be a landscape, it could be a portrait, it could be a scribble. It's your story. And every day you get that new blank canvas, 365 of those every year, okay? So what's the legacy? And how do you listen to your life to create that vision to have that legacy? Three questions to ask now. What do I do? So what do you do? What is going on for you now? Then what am I doing? A little different than what you do. What you do is what you are actually doing. What am I doing are the action steps and where you're going forward on that. And then what do I most want to do? A little bit different again. So what do I do? What am I doing? And what do I most want to do? So in order to minimize the unknown, you need to change that dialogue so you can actually see where you're stepping forward. How do we jumpstart this change and understand our purpose? We need to create a vision so that we can manifest it. So some of you know my little Bridges story, but I'm going to enlighten those who don't, because it's one of my favorites. And I think it's really, really important to have visions. I coach with visions all the time. I have personal visions. It doesn't make me woo. It makes it more manageable to understand what's going on for you. So when I was in the midst of my own personal pivot a number of years ago, one of the things I kept seeing well before I was even in motion on the pivot were bridges. You know, just kind of just coming to me, like there was a bridge thing happening, except that it wasn't this beautiful bridge. It was this rickety Grimm's fairy tale suspension kind of bridge made out of ropes. And it was really creepy and scary, to be honest with you. But so has change. Change is creepy and scary. So those two things kind of aligned, but I kind of liked it. I love the idea of it being bridge, because it took me from one part of my life to the other. There was that forward action. There was that idea of moving from one thing to the other. And then one day I was sitting with a friend and I was telling him the story about my bridges. And I'm like, God, it's this rickety bridge. I don't understand. It's like creepy. And he said to me, but Randy, why does it have to be that? Why can't that be a beautiful bridge? Why couldn't your bridge be the Golden Gate Bridge? And I stopped and I said, oh my God, if it's the Golden Gate Bridge, That changes everything. I love the Golden Gate Bridge. I've biked it. I've walked it. I've driven across it. It's iconic. It's majestic. It's beautiful. And it's not in Grimm's fairy tale. It worked for me. And the moment that I could say to myself, oh my gosh, my bridge is the Golden Gate Bridge, I was so empowered with this vision of crossing from one part of my life to my other, to the other, that I literally looked in the mirror and said, I'm a coach. I'm going back. I'm getting certified. I'm doing this. It was absolutely empowering. So visioning can do that, and manifesting can do that. So here's a manifesting story. Last year, New Year's of 2016, I was away, woke up that morning, and I remembered a dream, which doesn't sound all that odd, except I never remember my dreams. I must have them, but I don't remember them. But this one was so clear that I literally got up, went to my phone, opened the calendar to October. And on October 22nd, I typed in the words on my calendar, Oprah. Because here was my dream. I had had a very quick dream that I was in the city, in New York City. I was at some big event, some big, you know, event place, maybe the convention center. Lots of women around me. It was one of these women's empowerment things. People I knew, people I didn't know. And before the event was about to start, a woman comes running up to me. She's all hooked up with her mics and her clipboard and all her stuff. And she says, are you Randy Levin? And I said, yes. And she said, oh, I work for Oprah. And she's looking for somebody to either interview her or be a subject matter expert on a panel on October 22nd. Are you available? Well, Oprah doesn't have to ask me twice. So I, of course, in my dream said yes. And then I woke up. And I went to my calendar, as I said, and I wrote down on October 22nd, Oprah. This was January 1st. Okay, so the long and the short of it is, no, I did not ever meet Oprah. I did not interview her, and I was not on a panel. However, what did happen is I didn't let that thought go. I kept seeing that on my calendar. I knew it was there. And in July, I got an email, okay, from a major magazine saying, okay, it's the right fit. Send me a headshot, send me a bio. We want you to be on our subject matter expert panel. And no, it wasn't the convention center and it wasn't Oprah and it wasn't being filmed for anything, but it was still big. There were still, you know, several hundred people in the room. It was a big event. It was something I wanted to do and I manifested it. And guess when it was? It wasn't October 22nd, but it was October 18th. Pretty close. So when we get these visuals, they're not woo, is basically what I'm saying. They can be very real and they can be very magical in terms of pulling you forward toward understanding your own growth, your own purpose, and your own success steps, okay? So what would be different for you? What opportunities would there be for growth if instead of finding only the purpose in our lives, if we thought that that purpose could be an evolution and could be multiple purposes, so not just one thing. Not that we just went to law school and we're going to be a lawyer, we can't be something else, or not that we went to veterinary school and we're going to be a vet for the rest of our lives. Well, maybe we are, but what else? What else is in there for purpose? Okay, so what changes with that history? And when we start to marry together the tools we bring to the table, that Picasso, that empty canvas, if you would, with our own legacy and with our own ability to measure growth, what we have is the ability to reevaluate purpose. All those things come together. And we can talk about them and write about them and think about them. But here's the thing. Don't write them in stone. Write them in pencil. All these things we set for ourselves that can change and then have fluidity, write them in pencil. Because pencils allow us to change course. Pencils allow us to erase. Pencils allow us to rewrite. Pencils allow for more than one purpose. Pencils allow for growth steps. Pencil it in. Put it down. Pencil it in. And know that you have the ability, the choice, and the awareness to affect that and to rechart that course. Just like that GPS that we set, we can change that destination. We can make that U-turn because we're really smart and we can make those choices for ourselves, right? Important to remember is to trust in the foundation, starting with trusting in yourself. Because guess what? You have all the answers. Now, clients hire me all the time to come up with the answers. They think, she's going to have the answers. She knows how to do it. I don't have the answers, and I don't know how to do it because it's your story. And because it's your story, you're the one at the controls. You're the one in the driver's seat, and you're the one who can come up with your own solutions. When I have a really good questions, you've got the solutions all the time, lying dormant somewhere. And it takes a certain amount of trust and courage in yourself to be able to believe that you can pull yourself forward with those. So you're not the expert at everything, but you are the expert at you. So here we have one of Randy's try it nows. We're going to make a list because I like lists. We're going to take a moment to make a list, see how many things you can write down. We're going to give you just a couple of minutes to answer the question, what am I really good at? What am I really good at? And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be the first thing that comes to your mind. It could be really tiny. It could be huge. What are you really good at? Go. Okay, so wherever you are, stop. Is there anything in particular that came up for anybody? And since I can see you all, you can raise your hands. Anybody had anything that jumped out? You said, oh gosh, look what I wrote down here. No? Okay, I'm going to continue on because what I want you to do is I want you to think about that and think about what you can add to that because this all plays together. Ken, yes, sir. Unmute you.
Is this part of the what I know list?
This is what you're really good at, and they're very similar. They can be similar. What you know is really is more goal-driven or promises you make to yourself driven. These are things you're actually good at. I'm good at playing golf. I'm good at, dancing. I'm good at whatever it may be. I'm good at cooking or I like to unknot chains, but whatever crazy thing it may be. Whatever works. Okay. So next thing. So what do you want to most reconnect to? There's a place inside each of us where possibility lives, where we travel long enough and we come back to ourselves. And that's really, really true. Because if we live enough and we trust enough, we start to come back to understanding ourselves, to connecting to our own truth, to what our real values are for us in the moment. So a key question to ask now, what is your whole life, those successes, those failures, those wins, those losses, been preparing you to do? Because to be the leader in your life, you need to invite yourself into that conversation. And we don't remember to do that. We don't have those conversations with ourselves so regularly. You're not your fears. You're not your failures. You are you, and your successes are an offshoot of all of those wins and losses. They're all the pieces of the puzzle that make you who you are and define and redefine that toolkit that we talked about that you bring to the table of life. So what do you need to know to redefine your purpose? You need to understand that it's an evolution, not a one and done. So a couple of things to keep in mind. Overall new awareness. So what's changing and shifting in your everyday? What are those whispers of your life? What is your life saying to you? And it does speak to you. We just don't often hear what it's saying, but it does speak to us. So okay, so it does speak to us. Where can you have courage? Where can you trust in yourself? And we tend to shortchange ourselves on that trust and on that discovery part of it, right? And really be able to listen to what's going on. But the things do shift around us. We just need to stop being busy long enough to be able to hear where some of those little things are coming up. Ken, did you want to say something? No, okay. Okay, second piece, shifting of time. So in the timelines of our lives, we remember moments. We don't always remember that entire timeline. So when we're talking about legacy, we're talking about capitalizing on the moments, those defining moments. What are those defining moments? Sometimes we don't know unless we look back a little bit and we say, okay, well, if this hadn't happened, then that wouldn't have happened. That's a defining moment. And that's true. We need to sometimes override the GPS. We need to be able to understand where that journey is going for us, the shifting of time. And the third thing, understanding potential and capacity. So to redefine purpose, we need to understand that we all have potential in everything that we do, right? So each and every day, we have potential to be, to grow, to evolve. We also have capacity. So like this lovely water bottle has capacity at 16.9 fluid ounces, right? So kind of like the backpack of last week, you can only fit so much in there, okay? So we may have potential to be and do all these different things, but this is our capacity. What do you want to put in there? Where do you want to fill it? What do you want it to include? And that's a choice. You always think about that choice. We think that we, you know, it's kind of unlimited. It's not unlimited. And it allows you to kind of refocus that, just like the backpack did. What goes back in? Where are those strengths? Where is those things that you really most want to take forward? What do you need to redefine that purpose? So ways to connect and reconnect to purpose. Daydream, remember that? When was the last time anyone daydreamed? We go and we meet somebody for lunch and we all do this, right? We may be sitting there and we're waiting for someone to meet us. And there's this beautiful, could be a snowstorm out the window and, you know, people next to us who are really fascinating, but we're doing this with the cell phone and we're scrolling, right? Because we don't daydream. We've forgotten how to spend time with ourselves, to be alone, to pause. And that is our time. That's our time to be creative. That's our time to be Picasso. That's our time to come up with new ideas and to percolate a little bit. And we don't often allow ourselves to do that. And when we do, there's a real purpose and mindfulness that comes just from that. And a lot of courage that comes from that too. And it's definitely one of the things that's incredibly important when figuring out and redefining your purpose. To pause. The second piece, uncluttering the junk food, the physical and that mental clutter, okay? So if we can't find your desk and your closet is bulging and you don't know where you're supposed to be at what time, these are little subtle things that might be coming out at you that are saying, hey, I got a lot of clutter going on. I got a lot of things going on that need to be moved aside or maybe need to be looked at again because maybe they're not really suiting me now. It's Glendon Doyle Melton and Brené Brown who say, and I quote, evictions are invitations to other things. So what can we evict from the junk and the clutter that allow in other things? The third piece in connecting to purpose, listening to your life. So we talked about that a little bit, but there's these external versus internal things that create noise, okay? And being mindful of what some of those are. So I had a client a while back, and it's kind of an interesting story. We did an energy leadership assessment, which is an assessment that I do that measures levels of energy and your stress level in relation to it. And it has this wonderful little flow chart that goes with it and this whole big debrief. And what came out of this thing is that this woman who was this power CPA, she was a partner in a firm and married and trying to start a family and just going through all of them, the motions of everything. And she was caught in it. And she was just caught in the overwhelm of everything. And she just stopped and she said, you know, one of the things that came up in the questions I was asking is all about her dogs. And she just loves spending time with her dogs. I'm really good at that. I'm good at like going for a hike. I'm good at spending time playing with them. And so it became our little thing that we coached around until she finally said, but I want to be more like my dogs. So what was her life telling her? And we asked a lot of really good questions. We had a really great conversation around that because it wasn't that she wanted to have a tail that she could wag, but she wanted to have the freedom to be able to be happy, to be able to be unencumbered slightly, to be able to live in the moment and be playful, to go on a walk and just have abandon and be curious about the world around you, about everything around you. And no sooner had we started coaching around this, and she had an opportunity in her life where her husband had an opportunity to move out of the tri-state area and out of the crazy pace they were living up to New Hampshire. And he had had the same opportunity a couple of years prior, and she had said, no, I've worked to be a partner in this firm. You know, I'm doing all this stuff. We are not moving. We are not, what are you kidding? This is, we've got a house here. We're not going anywhere. This time, when she was walking around thinking that she wanted to be more like her dogs, it was really easy for her to say, well, yeah, because she already had this vision. She was already manifesting the dogs out in the beautiful foresty area where her new house would be. And what do you think happened? She moved and they bought this great house, you know, backed into a whole wooded area. She goes out with the dogs all the time, started her family, took that pause from her crazy life, is now going back in on her own terms, more like the dogs. So being aware of your environment, your internal, your external, kind of narrowing those together. And I call it finding your forgotten man or finding your forgotten woman. It's your inner child. It's your soul. It's this piece of you that you may be saying, yeah, over here, pick me. And you're saying, not so much. I don't really have time to pick you. I'm too busy. I'm doing this. But we all have this internal voice. We all have this part, intuition maybe, that's telling us something. And sometimes it can be negative energy voice, but oftentimes it's not. It's a really positive push and a drive. And we kind of go, shh, we're not really ready to hear that tomorrow. Listen, it's that awareness that recreates purpose. Very, very much so. In week one, we talked about growth. And I told you that I asked myself one really significant question when I was pivoting in my own life. I looked back and I said, what would I do if it were 10 years ago? And what that did is that repositioned me in the internal and the external. It brought me back to that inner child, that forgotten woman. I was able to answer that question. And I was able to, with that, understand that my criteria, what it was. I wanted to help people. I wanted to have a voice and a platform. I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to be building legacy every day. And I wanted the demographics to be correct. So being able to look back a little bit, connect back to myself a little bit, having the courage to ask myself some questions, allowed me to be able to redefine my purpose and redefine what was next for me. So make a date with your inner child and date the possibilities of change and discovery. Think about children and how they play and they throw things around and they're inquisitive and they're in the moment and they have lots of different purposes and hats that they wear and things that they do. And one minute they're a mommy and one minute they're a teacher and then the next minute they're a doctor and there are all these different things because they can be. So where are you going to allow yourself to have the freedom to step into other things, to have multi-purposes, to explore the things you're good at and the things that you thought you may want to do, to explore what that forgotten piece of yourself may be telling you. So a tip to try, one more thing that I wanted to talk about beyond that, is the fifth piece is falling in love with you. Okay, we all know what it's like to fall in love with somebody else, but falling in love with you, sometimes a little bit harder. Shouldn't be, because we know ourselves. Single longest relationship you're ever going to have is with yourself. So you need to kind of practice the interview. So think about this. If you were going to hire someone to fall in love with you, and you needed to hire you, would you hire you? So if you were to interview yourself right now, can I? I already see what the questions are forming there. If you were to interview yourself and you were asking yourself some specific questions, would you like the answers you gave yourself? Would they stand out? Would they help you to redefine purpose? Would they be meaningful to you? So a tip to try now, hold that morning meeting. So I already got you at night. You know, in week one, we talked about highlights of the day, three highlights of the day. Go to bed on that note. You know, where were the successes? Wake up in the morning. Let's talk about gratitude, because gratitude and fear don't get along. So we want to dispel that fear right away with having three things we're grateful for in the morning. So now, 5 more minutes of your time. Hold a morning meeting with yourself, that time, that pause. Okay, I'm going to interview myself. What do I want to do today? How am I doing this today? How am I going to show up today? Do I like me today? What can I do for me today and actually get it done? Important. Okay. The One Day Contract is actually a book. One Day Contract, How to Add Value to Every Day of Your Life by Rick Pitino. And he recommends drafting a contract with yourself to show up and give each day all that you've got to give. It's a reminder of why you have a why in the first place and what is your reason for doing what you do. We're going to make one more list, and then I have a little reading for you that I'm going to do. We're going to make a list looking back, kind of like my question, look back, but we're only going to look back to 2016, which isn't too far to look back. And what I want you to do, we'll just take a moment to do it, is what were your successes in 2016? What comes to mind? Big, little, doesn't have to be the biggest client you ever landed. It could be the tiniest little thing that happened that just stayed with you. What are your successes for 2016? Just make a quick list for yourself. Because in order to manifest things, in order to come up with visions, we need to know where we've been a little bit. Where we've been, what we're good at. Anyone have anything to share? Anything that jumped out and said, wait a second, I didn't realize that was a success. Anyone have anything to share? Okay, if you don't, these lists are for you. But it's an interesting concept. Sometimes we need to go back just a little bit, see where we've been. So I'm going to read to you guys for a moment a passage that I particularly like. It's called The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams. This starts at a point when the skin horse and the rabbit are talking. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old, and most of the hairs on his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces, for nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but to really love you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges, who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in your joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it, for he thought that the skin horse might be sensitive, but the skin horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago, but once you're made real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." The rabbit sighed. He thought it would be a long time before this magic called real happened to him. He longed to become real, to know what it felt like, and yet the idea of growing shabby and losing his eyes and whiskers was rather sad. He wished he could become it without those uncomfortable things happening to him. So what does it mean to be real? How does self-love factor into being real, and change factor into being real? Anyone? What's it mean to be real?
To be yourself.
To be yourself. Yeah, to be yourself and to trust yourself mm-hmm. in that, you know, because that's kind of where purpose repositions itself. It doesn't just appear, you know, one day on our doorstep. Oh, this is my new purpose. It came from Amazon today. That doesn't happen. Okay. So we have to be able to connect to our own realities that way. And being real is very much that. Anyone else? Any takeaways from the Velveteen Rabbit? Be glad.
I think, you know, it takes so much energy not to be ourselves and so much less energy to show up as ourselves. And I think for most of us, it takes us a long time to learn that, to show up as real, you know, to have self-love, to know that you don't have to be like somebody else, just that, like you said before, just that we have our own unique gifts to share. And, you know, we can shine just as we are, but we, you know, we spend so much of our life trying to put all these masks on, and it's so draining.
It's very draining, and it drains out that energy, that same energy that we could be using to do the things we want to do, some of the things that are on the list, you know, of things you want to be doing, or things you're good at doing, but maybe you don't have the time to do, you know. Really capitalizing on the moment, right? If we're real, we're living in the moment. We're not living all in the past and wishing it had been a certain way, and we're not projecting all to the future and positioning everything only there. We're here now. Here now is what we got. So, kind of important. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to mute everybody again, just for the second. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about homework before we do questions and answers, because the homework this week is a little bit different. It's a little bit more involved. It's crafty. It could take on different modalities, but you are essentially being asked to create a vision board. And so why a vision board? Because when we can see it, we can get to it. So a vision board basically is something that we can create out of magazines, out of quotes that we like, out of pictures of things that we like, out of pictures of ourselves even. It could be anything you want it to be. It's just a treasure map to help you grow, to keep those resolutions manifesting, and a way to manifest what you most want in your life. It's a way to teach your mind to zero in not to the specific things or people or places, but to your emotions surrounding those things. And most people don't realize that when they're making a vision board, you're really tapping into how it makes you feel. It's all about emotion. It's also about the why and the what of what you're choosing to be on your vision board. The why and the what. Okay, we want to avoid the how, because how and fear are married. And that's where the fears show up. When we try to overthink it and figure out how we're going to get to something, how this is going to happen for us, we shut ourselves down. So when you're creating that vision board and you're trying to manifest what this is, you really want to be talking about the why and the what of it, and what's appealing to you. What can you say yes to? So if you don't want to call it a vision board, if that's too encumbering, it could be your yes board. Okay. And if you don't want to cut and paste and glue, you can take a bulletin board, some really nice ones and Home Goods that are framed out, hang it up in a prominent place, and you can make that something that moves around. So you could take all those little quotes and all those little things that you have and put them up and reposition them, because maybe next week your vision is just a little different, or next month, right? So it allows you to do that. Some questions you want to ask yourself. What do you want to bring or welcome into your life? What if there were no obstacles? What would be different for you? And what small step can you be taking toward that vision. And you're going to get this actually in an email, and it's actually coming, I believe it's in tomorrow's email, so it's early, and then you get another one on Sunday as a reminder, because so you have some time for it. But what do you want to bring or welcome into your life? What if there were no obstacles? What would be different for you? What small step can you take toward that vision? And yeah, refer back to the handouts that you've been doing. Week one's 100 Ways to Change Your Life worksheet, the successes that we've made. Where have you, if you worked on those highlights or any of those gratitude statements for yourself, you know, what's been there? Take a look as these all lace and weave together, all the different little lists and worksheets we've worked on and things that we've talked about. And they come together and for you to be able to manifest, you know, what you most want to have happen for you in the year ahead. Begin the task whenever you sit down to actually do this with some affirmation statements. Take 3 to 5 minutes before you even get started. You know, they tell people who speak in public, of which I'm one, that there's that stance that you can take, you know, before you, it's like the power stance. It's kind of like a power stance. So that's what an affirmation statement does. And so there are I am and I have statements. So we already imagine that we are doing or have the things that we most want. So I am, you know, rocking this new business, or I have the following clients, or whatever it is that is important to you. When you do your boards, make sure you're creating them based on that what and why. Like I said, look for the emotion and the feeling behind each quote, word, picture, anything at all that you're putting on there. If you really want the easiest version of this, there's actually another version I want to share with you. You could simply take sticky notes and Sharpie markers, and you could make a very quick and very easily repositioned vision board for yourself. So what quotes do you like? You can staple something right onto something, you know, maybe, you know, you just love palm trees and you just want to be able to manifest things that have to do with tropical and palm tree and travel and what have you. And maybe you want to staple a picture of a palm tree on there. And then you can reposition and move the stickies around. It could be like a motivation wall. Stick it right next to your desk at home, or prominently in a closet on your bathroom mirror, whatever works. But there are ways to keep yourself mindful for renewal and reinvention going forward. So I want to unmute everybody and see if we've got any questions or comments or takeaways from today in terms of being more open to one's continuing evolution of purpose. Where are we at, folks?
I think the call was really awesome, Randy. Thank you. I got a lot out of it, and especially because I've, you know, I can be creative in writing and other things, but as far as a vision, it's something I struggle with. I don't know why, but you actually, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you actually brought up some stuff in me. So
awesome. And I have a question for you. Gina is also a coach. And so my question is this: when you're coaching, do you use a lot of visioning and imagery in your coaching?
Yes and no. Probably could use more of it.
Okay. So I know I use quite a bit, and it always calls to me, because it always opens up so much conversation, so much thought that we don't necessarily always have on our own. So it's making you think along those lines, and I love that. And to the point, if you like to write, and I like to read, you know, and you obviously know I like to make lists now, but there's another piece of this. So let's say you've done this motivation, let's say you've done this bulletin board, or you've just done a cut and paste job of creating a vision for yourself. You can actually journal around that in some way, shape, or form as well. So what is the story it's telling? Sometimes we don't even know what story it's telling until it's done. And then you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, look at that. Everything that's on here is the color blue. Or, you know, you may not even realize, but what is the story that the whole thing put together is saying for you? And you want to, you know, journal and actually write something about that. And that may pull it all together for you in a different way as well.
Cool. Yeah, and some of the stuff that you brought up is not surprises for me. And I don't want to get into that too much, but it's, you know, it's what we already have, you know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be a surprise.
Exactly. It's what we already have, but we may not always be admitting or looking at, or being honest even with ourselves. So, you know, the point of interviewing yourself is to be honest. Because if you were on an interview, well, hopefully you would be honest with the interviewer, and you would answer the questions that you're being asked to the best of your ability. And you would, you know, give it your best, give it your thought. But we're not always times in the day to day ourselves. We've got this stuff. We don't always use it.
Yeah, it's easier to use on somebody else than it is right. on yourself.
Exactly. So, you know, to my point, and one that you well know as well, is that, you know, all those answers that we look to everyone else for, we've got it. Sometimes you just need a little guidance with it, but you've got it. And it's where do you want to take it?
So, yeah. Hence my funk. But yeah, you're getting me out of my funk.
Get you out of that funk. Well, we all get in a funk. If you never got in a funk, we'd just be like la 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 la. So before, there's got to be little challenges along the way of different things. And sometimes, you know, you get into a funk about something, and it's something else is about to happen. And you don't even know what that is yet, but it's kind of like a little lull that goes into it.
Yep. True. All true.
What else? Any other takeaways from today? Anything about purpose? Any questions? Christy, what do you got? Are you unmuted?
No, let's see.
Yeah, you are.
I seem to have lost the connection.
Uh-oh, I hear you. I hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yep.
Okay, we can hear you too. We can see you too. So, I don't know, you lost on your end, but any takeaways from today and anything in particular about purpose that's calling to you or questions you have?
No, I think you gave me some tools to start with the lists.
Yes, queen of the lists. Yeah,
it's good okay. to make them.
Awesome. Use them. Ken, anything?
I don't know that I discovered like a new purpose here. I would say, just like Christy said, you know, this is sort of a starter for me. So mm-hmm. in terms of this.
Exactly.
I like the Picasso story, and I don't know. Well, it's a lot to chew on, but I'm
not to chew on. It's yeah. not necessarily meant to have you walk away saying, "Oh, no, I got this purpose thing," but it's meant to keep us all in motion, and that's kind of the whole idea of the whole Reinvention Summit is to take that growth and understand it, understand how it differs from goals, to take the idea of purpose, and that purpose can change and be in flux and tap into our values and tap into so many different aspects of who we are at any given time. And next week we're going to be discussing success steps. So how all that plays together to really help us to continue to evolve and refresh and move forward as the best versions of ourselves. So yeah, absolutely. Any other questions? Okay.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
I just had a comment when you were talking about daydreaming that resonated really strongly with me. I'm up in Maine and it's snowing like crazy here. This is our like third snowstorm in the past 4 days. But today the flakes were like this big. Oh my God. And I've been a little sick the past couple days also. And when I am stressed and working a lot, what I tend to do is just go and turn the TV on, or I turn my iPad on. I don't actually ever sit in front of the TV, but I turn my iPad on and watch TV as I cook, as I clean, and it like shuts my brain off. But I was having a conversation with my sister today, and you know, she suggested, and I like in my soul know that I should just kind of tune everything out and be present. So she suggested that I not watch my iPad while I clean or cook. And I knew that, but today when I went outside, I had brought my iPad with me to let my dogs out. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's beautiful out here. And anyway, so I shut it off and I was present and it was beautiful. And it's frustrating because you know deep down that like that those moments when your purpose can be revealed to you, not to get too woo,
but no, when you're true.
Yeah, when you're quiet and you're just listening and you can be filled with so much joy doing nothing. So it was just that daydreaming. Like when I go out with my dogs, often without my electronics, I that's when I daydream and I'm just happy and in a great place. So it really resonated with me. It was like really cool to have that conversation following my snow experience earlier.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, because I just want to point something out about the seasons and nature, because there's probably no better place to reconnect yourself than in that. Gina, I know you do it every day. Brianna, you just spoke of it. I know for me, my favorite thing is to go for a hike, go for a walk outside. You know, where we connect to what's around us and really see it, smell it, use your senses with all of it, it is rejuvenating. And it's in those moments that you are, I think, I am my truest self. My mind starts to wander to all kinds of things. It becomes very creative. Some of my best ideas happen when I'm out and about and really taking in what's around me, instead of being absorbed as we all can be in the to-do of the day and in our electronics and scrolling through Facebook and, you know, all the things we have to do. We don't stop. You know, we think about our parents, our grandparents. They didn't have that. You know, it's yes, they had televisions, but they didn't have, you know, all the distractions that we have now. So we have to be like doubly mindful almost of allowing ourselves to pause and step away from some of these distractions so that we can just be and remember who that is. We forget who we are. So when we talk about finding a new purpose and, you know, what is our growth, we get lost sometimes in all of that because we're just in motion. And sometimes we need to not be in so much motion. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Brianna. Anything else? Love it. So this concludes week 3 of the Reinvention Summit.